flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's on a really cold day. Hope you're having a good start to this Wednesday morning. Of course, getting closer to the Eagles and the NFC Championship game.
Dude, you stomped over
Eddie Grant, man. It's Eddie Grant. Come on, man.
I got a game to talk about. Bad job by me.
We're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Hey, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. You know this song?
Of course.
Awesome song, man. This was... what, 1985?
I don't know.
Yeah, 85-ish.
I do know this. I think music makes you the happiest you that I see.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I think there's that's no universal, question. Too, though.
No, that's not the happiest for me. No, it's not for me.
No, I know, but I think you're more an exception. I think music makes people happy.
Yeah, actually, you're the exception to the rule.
No, but hold on, you're missing what I'm saying. No, it makes me happy. I'm saying it's the happiest version
of John. I agree. I'm saying it's universal that music makes people happy, not the happiest. But I think a lot of people, like I know I do, I force myself to listen to music because I know it'll make me happier when I do.
You have to force yourself.
Well, no, I mean, I remember.
That was one, James, that was John.
That's
that was
weird.
One.
Poorly
one,
phrased.
Yeah.
My point is, this I always guy. Try and like remind myself, hey, remember to listen to music. Remember to listen to music.
That's weird.
It's not, really. No,
most people don't need to remind themselves. They just choose to do it.
No, but you listen to all kinds of other things.
There's you're digging out of a hole.
No, I'm dead right here.
You're dead right.
Yeah, you're wrong, buddy. Yeah.
The Alexa has made it fun because you just throw out songs like, you know, stuff.
I think a lot of people forget to listen to music.
Let me put on my list of things to do today. Here we go. I'm going to write it down. Remind myself.
I think it's good advice for everyone. Remember to keep music in the rotation.
Okay. Now that I've written it down, I'll remember.
I think that makes sense.
Right. It makes total sense. You're wrong about this.
I like picking on you, James.
I know, but you're wrong.
All right, let's listen to something about the Sixers, because obviously heavy on the Eagles. Shil Kapadia joins us shortly. But Sixers mess last night. They get crushed. No Embiid. Paul George scores only 11 points. It was basically Maxey versus the other team, and the other team way better than Denver Nuggets. Sixers have lost 7 in a row. They really, 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 really may miss the playoffs. And after the game, there were reports that there was screaming in the Sixers locker room before reporters got in there. Loud, you know, I don't know. What do I know? I'm here. They're in Denver. But apparently it was pretty bad out there.
Loud screaming.
Loud
as
screaming.
As opposed to the soft.
Profane.
Yeah.
Well, the soft variety of screaming.
You know what I mean. All right. So, Maxey.
So, do we know who was screaming?
We don't. We don't know that. But we do know Tyrese Maxey, once they opened the lockers, rock room doors for the media.
Express. Did you say rock room doors?
I did. I want to get to this. He was very frustrated. Very frustrated, Tyrese Maxey. Obviously, the losing is setting in a big way. And I hear you, John. I'm just trying to move because we got to get to Shield. Here's Maxey after the game.
It's hard to win in this league, for sure. You know, it's hard to not be healthy. It's hard to not have all your guys. It's hard to not have your best player. It's hard, man. It's difficult. It's already difficult to win with all those guys. It makes it extremely difficult when guys are out, guys are missing, and then guys come back. It makes it extremely difficult. So, you know, that's just frustration. But at the end of the day, Coach Nurse said something that was extremely correct as far as, man, we're all professionals in here. You can do the basics. You can do the stuff of, like, being on time and being present and going out there and doing the fundamentals. You know what I'm saying? So he believes in everybody in here. And that's the coach that you want to have on your side.
What a mess. What
being
a mess.
On time and being present.
What a mess.
You can do the basics. What a good point. I mean, Tyrese Maxey might be the only person in that locker room who's supporting Nick Nurse right now.
I mean,
we don't know what it looks like in there. It could be ugly.
I do know this.
You could have other guys in that locker room saying, look at him, teacher's pet.
I know.
He's the one who's showing up at 5 a.m. every day working out. It could work against him now. That would be so awful if the attitude is so negative that even the guys who are wired right are now being persecuted.
Look, there's so many ways to take this. I'll just say this. First off, they don't have enough talent when Joel doesn't play. That's obvious. Mm-hmm. Paul George has been a disappointment. That's obvious. But no coach gives the let's do the fundamentals like being on time speech unless some guys aren't being on time.
Right.
Okay. Is it one guy? Is it 10 guys? I have no idea. But I know this. You don't give that speech unless some guys aren't breaking rules that shouldn't be broken. And then the other element of Maxie's
remarks. How much is Paul George breaking rules?
I wonder how much.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Which side of the ledger is Paul George? You know, the side of the guys, like, no. I'm just assuming
here's the
this
side
dynamic in the locker room where Joel is upset.
Look, I don't know. I just know this. Paul George isn't good enough, and the Sixers right now stink. So, let's go to the phone.
And
Maxie's frustrated. We're all frustrated.
Well, the Maxie frustration thing, I'd like to know a lot more, and I don't know when we'll learn more.
I hear you. All right, Shield joins us shortly. Seth in media right now before a big Eagles-Washington game in 4 days. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, guys. I got some good news for you today. I don't think that Jalen's knee is going to be as big an issue as what we all think it is.
Me neither.
I think it could turn out to kind of be a good thing, because what happens is, no doubt, you know, Washington's preparing for him either way, right? But they're going to dare him to try and run the ball by covering these receivers and watch Jalen go off like he did against Pittsburgh and torch them in the air. Absolutely torch them. And then they'll have no answer.
Look, Seth, that's predicated. Oh, hold on, Seth, hold on. That theory is predicated on him doing something that he's done maybe once out of every 8 games this year. I mean, that's not his usual.
How many games has he played? If we're doing the math on that, mm-hmm. once every 8 games, how many games has it been since Pittsburgh?
Well, I don't know, 5 or 6.
Okay, so maybe he's due for one.
Well, maybe he is, but maybe the norm is he's not that good through the air, and that could manifest in a bad way for the Eagles.
I don't buy it. I've seen him drop too many dimes. I mean, I'm not saying he's the best throwing quarterback in the league, but I just, you know, everybody's keying in on this, you know, his knee, and I get it, man. He probably tweaked it, but you're talking about probably one of the strongest, physically strongest quarterbacks in the league. Right. I mean, sure. not with his arm, but I mean, just, you know, and John can attest to this. When your body is that strong around maybe a minor soft tissue injury, mm-hmm. so your other muscles can make up for that. Right.
It's amazing, you know, what you can do. Yep.
Yeah,
amazing what
yeah,
your so, body can overcome.
Seth, I want to get to Shield here. I hear your
no
point.
Problem.
Give me an
no
answer.
Problem. Rocky on the top of the stairs.
Oh, that could win.
Jeez.
Right now, I got that versus ET. That's a pretty good answer. All right, speaking of answers, Ray Diddy gave us an answer the other day about a meeting that he thinks should happen this week. Let's listen to this, and we'll get Shield's reaction, because the passing game just came back into focus with the last caller's comment. Here's Ray earlier this week about a meeting he thinks should happen.
I really do think that it might be time for Jalen and Nick and Kellen Moore to have a little sit-down this week and just – do a reevaluation of their passing concepts right now, because there has to be a component of quick look, quick release, get the ball out of the hands in a hurry, short slants, that kind of stuff. They have to be. I'm sure they're in the playbook, but they have to be revisited now. I mean, if you're going to get the ball, you have two receivers here in Brown and Smith that can get open right off the line of scrimmage. They can run the quick out. They can run the quick in. They can run the little digs. I mean, those balls that come out of the quarterback's hand, those guys can run those routes. But right now, they're just not getting those opportunities. The plays are just – passing plays are just too slow developing. And, you know, and Jalen has not had much success throwing the ball deep down the field in a while. I mean, he's had – I saw, you know, my buddy Ruben Frank, who does a really good job with statistics, was evaluating after yesterday's game, and he said that Jalen Hurts has 0 completions of 35 or more yards in the last 7 games.
It's an unbelievable fact. Now, obviously, he would have had 1 if AJ had caught that ball the other day that he should have caught. But it is amazing. Haven't been moving it much like that. All right. Hopefully they can bludgeon the other team to death with a lot of running and everybody's healthy enough and the whole thing. But you don't know. It could turn into a game where Washington loads up on Saquon. Jalen can't run as effectively, and they got to throw. We'll see. For more on that, let's talk to Shield Kapati. He joins us every Wednesday. We love having Shield on the show. He's broken down the film in the last game, has a scouting report on Washington. Shield works for the Ringer, covering both the Eagles and the entire National Football League. Good morning, Shield.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy. You know, well, it's funny. If anyone tuned in just the last 3 or 4 minutes, they think we're really frustrated and massively concerned, which we're not, because, you know, I think everyone's picking the Eagles and we're super psyched. But, Shield, just picking up on what Ray was just talking about there, if this turns into a game where Washington is, for lack of a better way to put it, making Jalen have to play from the pocket as a passer, what do you make of that scenario?
Concerned are you with our passing game, Shield?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be concerned with the passing game. I think Ray was spot on, as usual, right there, that you look at Jalen Hurts' numbers throughout the season, and when he gets rid of the football quickly, when he has those quick answers, he can operate. He's very accurate. He doesn't miss a lot of throws, and, and when the ball comes out and he finds a rhythm, again, the caller just mentioned that Pittsburgh game. That's exactly what happened in that game. First half, they're calling these quick-hitting concepts, just get the ball out, don't take sacks. And the passing game looks good. The problem is there's been too many times this season where it hasn't looked like that and that he's holding on to the football. I mean, you take 7 sacks for 63 yards in a game, you know, most teams don't win a game like that where you lose 63 yards on sacks. I think it's the second most by any quarterback in the NFL in a game this season. And so it's not just Hurts. We've had this conversation all season long. Ray's right about the passing concepts, and there is a predictability to it. There is a low volume to it. And this last game, they had some issues in protection as well. So you add all those things up, and you look at the injury, and I still think the Eagles are going to win.
Yep.
You know, I don't know that they need to have a prolific passing game to win this game, but if you're asking me specifically about the passing game, it is a concern, and it has been a concern for most of the season.
I agree.
What happened? What happened, especially this last game, with the zone blitz protection? They were sending, well, those simulated pressures, you know, where guys were dropping out. When we didn't know exactly who was coming, it's like we couldn't protect anything, Shiel.
Yeah, no, it didn't look good. You're right. And this is what a lot of teams are doing, where they say, hey, we're just going to rush 4, but you're not going to know which 4 are coming. We're going to crowd the line of scrimmage, and you better sort it out. And we're still going to have 7 guys in coverage, but can you block our 4 guys? And they didn't do a good job of that. You know, there was one where Mekhi Becton and Kenny Gainwell aren't on the same page. There's another one, the safety, Cam Jurgens, just gets beat pretty cleanly on that play. So again, it's hard for me to just say it's one thing. It really is a combination of different things, but I think you add it all up and you get a passing game that doesn't look very crisp.
Why are we eating it so much? Like, is there any good explanation? You know so much about football, Shiel. Is it just the conservative route to just eat it when you're taking a sack instead of trying to throw it away? I don't understand this. I've always been told sacks destroy drives. Is there a new line of thinking about sacks where they're not as bad or something?
No, you're right. Sacks destroy drives. It's been proven statistically over the years. You know, we don't view them as turnovers, but they're not quite as bad as turnovers, but they still will kill your drives. I think what it is, and you know, my opinion, my theory is that early in the season, Jalen Hurts is turning the football over. And they have a meeting, and they say, we cannot, you know, I don't know if it's one conversation, many conversations, and they say, we can't win that way. And so they move towards this run-heavy plan, which has worked brilliantly, and they say, we have a great defense, and they were right about that. But they say, prioritize over everything else, not turning the football over. And so if there are, you know, throws to be made and he's not sure, then he's going to turn those throws down, and instead he's going to take a sack because he's going to say, I'm not turning the football over. If I take a sack, we can still win that way. I mean, I think that is a big part of it. This is as conservative, you know, to the stat that Ray mentioned there. This is as conservative as Jalen Hurts has ever played in his entire career. And again, they are winning. They are one win away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to change now. But if you know, that I do think that's a part of what's happening.
I agree with your assessment entirely. Shiel, let's talk about if Jalen can't move around too effectively. I like to think... Now, he has such a big role in the way they succeed running, both with his own rushes and the threat of his running, which, you know, makes it easier for Saquon. But I like to think, even if the threat of him running isn't in the minds of Washington, you know, once they see a drive or two into the game, he's not moving well. I like to think that the big guys up front, plus Saquon Barkley, plus Dallas Goedert as a blocker, I mean, Adrian Peterson got 2,000 yards rushing, and he didn't have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts with the threat of running helping him. I like to think the Eagles should be able to win this game running, even if the threat of Jalen running isn't there. Do you agree with that?
I do, although I do have some questions about it. Now, you mentioned Adrian Peterson. Just last week, the Lions ran for, what, over 200 yards against the Commanders, and Jared Goff is not a threat in the run game. So to me, yes, it is possible. I think they need to have a good plan for it, you know, going in. They're going to know better than we are how healthy Jalen Hurts is and what kind of factor he's going to be, because he has been a big factor. I mean, that touchdown run he had in the first quarter last week, he's breaking the tackle of a defensive lineman. I mean, most quarterbacks are not able to do that and break that for 40-plus yards. That's a play that's designed for Jalen Hurts to make a read, and you get pullers out in front of him, and he has a big run. So if you're not going to have those runs at your disposal, you need to adjust. And I think there's a couple things they do. I think, one, this could be a big run-pass option game, a big RPO game where you say, hey, he's not going to run the football if they're keying in on Saquon Barkley, but we're going to have a little slant on the backside, or we're going to have a little screen on the backside that if that defender moves and tries to key in on Barkley, then you throw it and you take the easy completion there. So that's one. And I think they could use a lot of pistol in this game where, you know, because I don't know what his mobility is going to be like from under center. So I think that's another thing to keep an eye on, where you have the back right behind Jalen Hurts. He's not fully in shotgun, but the defense doesn't know which side the play is going to go to. So little wrinkles like that, not to get too in the weeds. But, yeah, they need to have a game plan for, hey, if Jalen Hurts can't be a factor in the run game, what are we going to do to still allow Saquon Barkley to have a nice day?
Is it worth blitzing Jaden Daniels?
No, flat out no. I was just looking at these numbers, John. He has killed the blitz this season. Last week, the Lions came in. That's how they play. They said, we're aggressive. Rookie quarterback coming into our house. Torched them. And really, John, if you look at the last game the Eagles played against Jaden Daniels in week 16, Vic Fangio got pretty aggressive in that game and started blitzing him, and he absolutely killed them when they blitzed him in that game. So to me, this is a game where you play zone coverage. You want eyes on Jaden Daniels. He is the best scrambler in the NFL. You can't play man coverage where you have your backs to the line of scrimmage and now all of a sudden he's running all over the place. So I think you got to win with your front four. Jalen Carter's got to have a big game. They're without their best offensive lineman. This is, to me, this, I would be surprised if Vic Fangio came into this game and blitzed a lot.
So how much does this, how smart is this team? The extra day that they've got, it worries me. I know that Cliff Kingsbury is really sharp, and he's going to have wrinkles that he adds, especially with an extra day. I know that Joe Witt is going to try to throw all sorts of new things out there. How well coached is this team?
Yeah, I still give Daniels most of the credit, but you are right. They do a lot of things. You know, one thing they do is they run no huddle more than any team in the NFL. I think it's up over 60% of the time. They are in no huddle. And so I was thinking about a guy like Jalen Carter in that situation where he never comes off the field and he was so, so good last week. How does that affect someone like him if it's not, hey, you're not getting the same break in between snaps, some of the things with the Eagles rotation defensively. So, yeah, there's a lot to prepare for. There's the quarterback run game. There's the no huddle. There's just the second reaction plays that Jaden Daniels makes. So offensively, the Commanders are legit. I mean, their offense has really, except for a little stretch in the middle of the season where Jaden Daniels was battling through a rib injury, other than that, they have played really, really well. So, yeah, you have the best defense in the NFL. This is why you have Vic Fangio to prepare for a guy like this and an offense like this. But that's going to be strength on strength when the Commanders have the football against this Eagles defense.
So how close are these teams?
I still think the Eagles are way more talented than the Commanders. If you just go, you know, player for player on the depth chart, I'm putting the check mark next to the Eagles all over the place. And I think on the other side of the ball, the Eagles should be able to run the football. I mean, that Commanders defense, you know, they had 5 takeaways last week. That's how they need to play. It's not like a sound defense where they're going to force you to go 3 and out and punt a bunch of times. They just aren't talented enough to be able to do that. So I think your offense has to have a day in this game where you say, hey, even if our defense doesn't completely shut down Jaden Daniels, we're still going to win this game comfortably because our offense is going to do enough here. So that's what you need to be able to count on.
What about those who say the Commanders' defense has gotten significantly better at stopping the run since, you know, late in the year and since the postseason started? Yeah, they were bad, whatever, 30th in the league at run defense, but now it's different. What do you say to that contingent?
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I mean, I watched that Lions-Commanders game last week, and Jahmyr Gibbs, every time he touched the football, it seemed like he got 12 to 15
yeah.
yards. I mean, they were
totally.
And you have Saquon Barkley, you know, the best running back season we've ever seen in this city. So I would be disappointed in the Eagles if they weren't able to win up front with their offensive line and if Saquon Barkley wasn't able to have another big game. You know, I do think the Commanders, now these defenses, they face a tough decision. They can crowd the box and say, hey, we're going to get it. But then if Saquon Barkley breaks through that, it's over.
Yep.
I mean, if it's him versus
yep.
safety, after he gets through that, it's not a 12-yard game. It's a 60, 70-yard game.
I like
yeah,
it.
I've never seen yeah. anything like it.
I like it when they crowd the box. Please do.
It really is.
It means we'll get there with more certainty in my book.
It's wild. It does lead to home runs. All right, Shield, final thing here. I'm curious, you know, 7 years ago when the Eagles were getting ready for an NFC Championship game, everyone in Philadelphia was of the mindset that it would be a more cool thing to beat New England, but easier to beat Jacksonville. And so, you know, a lot of people were, you know, probably hoping Jacksonville would win that game against New England. They did not. This one between KC and Buffalo feels a lot more 50-50 to me. Do you have any sense of which team, KC or Buffalo, emerging would be a better matchup for the Eagles to win? Who should we root to win KC Buffalo from an Eagles standpoint?
It's really close. I mean, that game's a 1.5-point spread, Chiefs Bills. So if you like the revenge angle, like you're talking about with the Patriots, if you want to say, hey, you know, the Chiefs got you 2 years ago and you want another shot at them and take down the Kings who are going for the three-peat, that obviously would be a fun storyline. If you're asking me just based on the matchup, I think it's probably it's really tough.
It is tough. It's really tough.
Here's the thing. The Bills are small up front, and they like to play nickel, and they're not necessarily built to deal with the Eagles' run game. Like if you look at, you know, their defense, I do think you'd be able to run on them quite a bit. So maybe that, but I don't have a strong lean. I mean, they're two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and you know, either one would be a pretty fun matchup.
Andy Reid out of the bye week might be why I'd rather play Buffalo, but it's really tight. But my God, I think he's 27-5 in his career with a bye, and obviously he'd have a bye entering the Super Bowl. So just something to consider.
Nick's undefeated after byes, I guess, other than not including the Super Bowl, but in the regular season, Nick is undefeated after the bye. For what it's worth.
Good. Okay. So he's 5-1 then, I guess. 4-0 in the regular season. I think they had won by in the playoffs.
The playoffs. So he's 5-1 total.
Yeah. Yep. That's impressive. All right, Shield. Stay well, bud. We'll talk to you next week. I think the Eagles will still be marching on. We look forward to having you on the program again. Thanks, Shield.
All right, guys. Take care. Talk to you next week.
You Thanks, got it, bud. Yeah, we've been looking for a frame freeze. Whatever nonsense I said earlier today. All right, good morning to you. Hey, happy birthday goes out to one of our favorite here at WIP. Maybe the number one favorite of people here at WIP.
And
that's the great Ava Graham.
Oh, yeah, that's the correct answer.
The only one maybe above Ava for likability at WIP, maybe, is Ray Dinger.
Ray Dinger, yeah, maybe. That's who I thought you were going for. But Ava makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean, we
She's
love
the call. Happiest person. Like,
She's a
all
great
the
person.
Time.
Just a sweet, wonderful human being.
We all
she
love
the
Ava.
The glue that holds WIP together.
I agree with that.
Happy birthday,
yep.
Ava.
Yep, Ava, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Ava!
Happy birthday, Ava.
All right, so time's yours coming up in 10 minutes. The game coming up in 4 days. And how long till the Sixers are eliminated from potential playoff contention?
Leave tomorrow.
Sunday.
Leave tomorrow, yeah.
You know,
tomorrow
guys,
or Sunday.
They were trending in the right direction, but seven losses in a row, I mean.
Yeah, for a brief moment in what, like
trending
December?
Trending in the
right direction. Well, I said it before.
No, they were. Remember, they won on Christmas Day and all that?
I said it before. They have to go
Celtics.
They have to go 26-14 in their last 40 games to end at 500.
That's
to go
wild.
500.
Yeah. Guys, it was only like 2 weeks ago. Charles Barkley said about 2 weeks ago, other than the Celtics, I'd pick them over anyone in the East.
You think Charles wants that one back?
Yeah, I do. All right. But, of course, that was predicated on a healthy Embiid. And the point the whole time was, well, what if he's not?
What, Joe?
He's not, I know.
A what?
It is.
He's not ever healthy.
It is.
The last Embiid update, which what? Was that like last?
It was over the weekend.
Yeah, it was Friday, yeah. Saturday. That's what really sealed it for me, which honestly I think is a lot later than most people when it comes to the Sixers. I was like, all right, it's done.
Yeah. Sixers are going to do some kind of news.
I was out opening night,
Sunday.
So.
Yeah. It's I lasted so a little bit longer than most. But.
For those that don't know, here's what the Sixers said a few days back. They said Joel Embiid participated in an on-court workout yesterday after missing the last six games due to a left foot sprain. While the foot sprain has healed, Embiid experienced an increase in swelling in his left knee following the workout. After consulting with team medical staff and external doctors, Embiid will receive treatment in the coming days to address the swelling. As a result, he will be out for the upcoming road trip and reevaluated in approximately 7 to 10 days. You know what didn't make that update any better? For whatever reason.
The fact that you're reading your phone 2 inches yeah. from your face.
I had to take the glasses off to do
the
that.
The one eye.
The one eye.
From your face.
One eye closed. I don't have the contacts in today. So you know what made.
Why? So why can't you read normally, though?
Because I don't have good eyesight. John, most people don't have good eyesight.
Don't you think you're
taking
your eyesight
for granted? By the age of 45, 46, whatever.
46, buddy.
46, man. About to be 47.
You do not respect your eyesight properly.
Sure I do.
No, the reason you're wearing glasses is because you don't take your contacts out.
I've had dry
eye
lately.
And you leave them in your eyes for days on end.
Weeks.
I know.
Weeks on end.
I'm aware. Not smart. All right.
So what do you... Yeah.
I'm an idiot. So here's what makes the Embiid...
Well said.
Yeah. Here's what makes the Embiid report the other day even worse. When I say report, team-sanctioned statement. The word out... He will be out. It was the only word in the whole story that was completely capitalized. O-U-T. What was the purpose of that? Devin, what was the purpose of O-U-T having to be capitalized?
I think it's like an official designation.
He's out! Yeah. Just so you make sure we understand. He's not out.
He's definitely not coming back.
He's O-U-T, capital
he's
out.
He's as out gets.
I mean,
I don't know.
He's not only physically out, he's emotionally and mentally every other form of out.
All for 7 to 10 days, which, of course, is going to be longer than 7 to 10 days. Let's go to the phones. Sure. Let's talk to Mike right now. Big game in 4 days. Good morning, Mike.
Big game. Good morning, Joe. Saying a healthy Embiid is like saying a healthy Twinkie. It just doesn't exist.
Not a bad line. Pretty funny.
So, listen, I'm going back and forth with all this Jalen talk. I mean, it's funny. Of course, there was going to be Jalen talk no matter what this week, and let's throw a little knee tweak on top of it just to make it a little extra spicy. And you know what? I actually go in a little slightly different direction with this one. I actually think, I'm not going to say a blessing in disguise, but I think this is going to force the hand, and I think Ray said this, kind of force the hand of, you know, Nick, Kellen, and Jalen saying, all right, we got to come up with a really smart game plan here. Like
here's why, Mike, here's why I don't buy it. I'm going to tell you why I don't buy it. It's a good theory, but let's go to the heart of what Ray said. Have a meeting. I love that. Have a quick passing game. I don't love it because I don't think Jalen does it well. So it's just a good theory. I think like what Ray's recommending they do is like actually the thing that Jalen is literally worst at.
So I hear that. I do hear that. And now here's the other thing.
Just run the ball. Run the ball.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's almost obvious at this point.
You can do so much more.
No, but you get my point. Just
I kind of
run it a lot. Like capital L, capital O, capital T. That's what should be capitalized. Run it a lot.
Do that. And then also, I mean, this is maybe going into a little bit of the minutia. Like, so Jalen's knee tweak is on the left side. He still could throw the ball deep. Like he could, you know, he's going to be planting on his right knee, so he still has the ability to throw the ball over the top.
Oh, sure he does. Yeah, of course.
Like I say, just in case, you know, the Commanders are really going to be, you know, getting into the box. So I'm honestly really not that concerned. And at the end of the day, there's no way they're coming into our field and beating us on the championship weekend. It's just not happening.
Even though Tampa and Carolina did.
This is a different team. Saquon Stevens
is
not
I'm just saying. I mean, we can't act like it's
sometimes
impossible.
Teams lose that are the worse team.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes the better team loses. And that's rare. Yes, that's happened.
Yeah.
I don't expect it
injured quarterback both times.
Okay.
Both times.
I don't expect the unlikely to occur.
Well, I don't either. I think the Eagles will win. Mike, give me an answer for an iconic still image from a movie.
An outstretched man with no shirt in the rain. He just freed himself from prison. Dufresne, when he freed himself from Shawshank.
That's a good answer. Dufresne through the bleep.
Through the bleep.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Mike in Norristown. Mike, good morning.
What do you know? What do you say?
Hi, Mike.
I know that whoever started that line, because I got a buddy that uses it, whoever started it is a dork. But I like you, Mike. Hello.
A dork?
Yeah, wait, dork.
The what do you know, what do you say?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
It's a dork, but whoever says it is not.
Well, listen, Mike's a good guy. And
he was trying not to call Mike a dork.
Yeah, I would have took your lunch money back
in the day, bro. You have no idea.
Listen, I'm well aware. You would have stuffed me in the locker, right?
Yeah.
Nah, they're too small.
You can still
nice.
Do this, Mike.
Nah, what I would have done was I would have tucked you to the toilet. That's what I would have did, the urinal.
Swirly.
I would have had a set of handcuffs and left you tied to the urinal. You know what I mean?
That's next level mean.
That's diabolical,
holy
man.
Cow.
Yeah.
I don't know
around.
If he deserves all that.
That's why they call me Mike from Norristown. You know what I mean?
All right. Fair enough, Mike from Norristown.
Yeah, he's
all right, what do you got on this big football game?
Listen to me, guys. 38-10 birds. They're going to squash them.
In the toilet or in the urinal?
Handcuffed to the urinal.
Buddy, they're going down. Daniels is going to have a great future. He ain't ready. We're pissed about that second game.
Yeah. Well,
Devontae dropped that ball. We had it with our backup.
Oh, I forgot about
them.
That drop. Yeah.
That's true.
That's right.
That
was the drop that would have sealed the game.
And
just like
remember,
Saquon.
If CJGJ doesn't get tossed,
they're going to eat him up in crap thunder.
All right, Mick. I like it. Give me an answer. An iconic still image from a movie.
You got it, brother. Vision Quest. It's a movie from 1985.
Love it.
Wrestling answer, huh?
Matthew Modine. Vision Quest.
All right, we'll write that down.
I don't think we need to get a scene. I don't think there's any shot from Vision Quest winning.
I love Vision Quest.
Yeah, it's super awesome entertaining.
Movie. Rhea, what were you saying before you jumped in there?
No, I was saying I didn't realize that Tristan McCollum gave up both touchdowns after he replaced CJGJ when he got ejected. They scored 22 points in the fourth quarter. That doesn't happen, I don't think, if CJ's still in there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's accurate.
I mean, I think that's huge.
All right, Twitter poll question of the day. Of course, Chase and Jimmy both fell short of the Hall of Fame yesterday, but assessing whether they should have made it. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question. Should Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins be Hall of Famers? All right, yes to both of them. Utley only. Rollins only. Neither of them. James, where do you come down on what should be?
I think Utley should be a Hall of Famer, and Rollins is just out for me. I've actually come more around to Rollins being a Hall of Famer over the last couple years than I was before when you dive deep into the numbers. I mean, he has some pretty impressive compiling stats. Mm-hmm. So,
and the defense helps a ton.
And the defense is a massive part of it. Yep. So I think Utley should definitely be in, and I'm on the line with Rollins. I'd say no, but I'm drifting.
All right, I'm a no on both, and I say that with disdain for myself because I love them both. But I have a high standard for Hall of Fame. And I just don't think either is there, but I hate saying it, but I'm being honest with you. Rhea, Utley and Rollins, where do you come out?
Well, I've always been more of a J-Roll person than Al and I used to fight. I don't worship at the altar of St. Utley. I just want to make that clear. I think he needed to play longer. It was injury shortened. Yep. He showed up 1 year, didn't let the Phillies know he was injured, and I didn't like that at all. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, for me, besides all the numbers and stuff like that, I'm with James. I think he's just short, but considering everything he was the face of the franchise. He was the driving thing. He's got some numbers that are better than current Hall of Famers. So, I don't think he's going to make it.
All right. And my argument against Utley isn't so much play longer, it's play greater longer. I think it was a Mattingly type career. He was phenomenal in a,
like 5 years, is, 6 years,
yeah,
7 year
time.
Stretch, essentially.
I know. And that's, all right, Devin, Utley Rollins, Hall of Famer in your boat, yes or no?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I kind of agree with you, Joe, where I don't know if I'd feel strongly about either of them. If I had to choose one, I'd say Utley, but he didn't really finish his career like for several seasons strong, especially on offense.
He was a backup for a decent stretch at the end.
And I'm not saying like you have to be incredible like every single year of your career to make the Hall of Fame, but I don't know, compared to the other inductees, I don't know if they qualify.
Okay, John, I got the results in front of me. Now, I know you didn't live through these two guys as much as we did, obviously, because this is back when you were playing football and the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
But, so the four choices are both of them make it, Utley only, Rollins only, neither of them.
Well, everyone wants both of them, don't they?
They do. I mean, everybody wants both of them. That's true.
It's a matter of how bad. Let's say 60% expect both of them.
Look at this guy. So it's not expect. It's about think they should. 59%.
Wow.
Say both of them should make it.
Wow.
Oh, that was so lucky.
That's amazing. So 59% they both should make it. 17% Utley only. Jeez. 12% Rollins only. 12% neither of them. So me and Devin, with both being neither, are in the 12%.
Bad job, you and Devin.
I know. I love both of them.
I do too.
I don't think you love them
doesn't
that much.
Doesn't seem like it.
I keep
really.
It real. I'm a keep it real kind of guy.
Disappointed in you, Devin, should. That you're agreeing with Joe.
So I'm going to be honest. The Hall of Fame stuff, like, it doesn't affect my fandom. Like, I'm going to love the players that I love regardless, and it's great if they make it into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. But it's not going to change any way that I view them, you know?
No. It's just
like
one of
I
those
just
things.
Don't care, I guess, is what I'm
saying. I just want to say it
well,
to their
care,
face.
Devin.
They care. I know.
James, and it's always awkward for me, like when I do these banquets and I induct these guys in the Philly Sports Hall of Fame. Like, I won't want to tell Chase that
no,
to his face,
I,
right?
I don't think that. No,
I would lie to his face. Chase, I can't believe you're not in the Hall of Fame. No, I keep it real. No matter where I am, I keep it real. Look, I think they're both just a tad short. We shall
you
see.
You actually keep it real?
Yeah.
You talk to someone?
If
hey,
I had
Chase,
to.
You know what?
Yes.
I got to be honest. Don't think you belong.
If I had to.
No way, man. You would never say that.
John, you know what? I'll tell you something I said to someone's face that was a tough moment. It was a tough moment. I told Michael Vick in an interview, I did not like that the Eagles signed him because of what he had done off the field.
Well,
but
I think that's fair.
I said, I say that to give you a big compliment here. I said, I so admire how you've handled it.
I think that's a cool thing to say.
You know, I was keeping it real because I'd said what I said on the air, but I also had said on the air, man, this guy's done everything you can possibly do in the aftermath of it to handle it good moving forward.
I think he probably heard that very infrequently. I think there were very few people who probably said, hey, you know what? I didn't support you getting here. Probably most people felt that way.
So I just wanted to keep it real. And that's a tough thing to say to somebody.
I can see how that would be.
All right, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours. All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with time's yours.
Yeah, serious note here. This Luvu dude, he is a headhunter and a dirty player. He launches and he leads with the crown of his helmet to other dudes' heads. Not sure how a bumpkin like me sit on the couch sees it and they don't. Maybe we got to get the associates of Johnson, Mailata, Dickerson, Jurgens, and Becton to take this dude out. Go Birds.
Or put his head in the toilet.
No, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, because he had a hit on golf.
He's dirty, man. He's just dirty.
That's the same guy who took Jalen out of
the game.
He's
just dirty.
Nasty, nasty
linebacker. Smart play on golf, though. Smart.
All these people worried about Jalen Hurts and productivity, blah, 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 blah. Before this season is over, he was going to make two spectacular plays that saved the season. Whether that be a run, some sort of crazy pass, whatever it is, he will make two plays that will save the season. Time's yours.
Well, I hope you're right.
Does that mean the season is saved in a Super Bowl?
It means Eagles win the Super Bowl.
I think if the season is saved, then yeah.
Although Jalen Carter saved the season the other day, and they haven't won it yet.
Lots
so.
Of people can save the season.
Tyrese Maxey saved the season in Game 5 versus the Knicks, and the Sixers lost, so you can save a season and still not win at all.
Can somebody explain to me how we're the favorites to win the Super Bowl, but when the power rankings came out yesterday, we're the fourth strongest team remaining? The Commanders are above us?
Well,
something seems fishy there.
It's NFL.com.
Well, that's stupid. That's dumb.
It's just one guy.
That's a loser.
Just one guy.
Whoever that person is, a loser. And with that said, we shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints.
All right.
Call 215-238-4500.
I think we got a clear top three here for iconic still image from a movie. We got to vote. Now, I don't even know that Andy Dufresne technically should be part of this, but I'll give him a nod of consideration. Dufresne, crawl him through. It's a good still shot.
That's not for me.
Me neither. Rocky, Top of the Steps.
Yes.
And E.T.
Or E.T.
Bike Moon. Like, it's
so tough. How do you choose?
All right. E.T. or Rocky at the Top of the Steps, James Seltzer.
What city are we in?
We are in Philadelphia.
I'm going to go Rocky.
Okay, Rhea?
Also, E.T. is overrated.
No.
Rhea?
We can't pick everything Rocky every single day.
Is that an E.T. vote?
Yes.
Devin?
I know, we do lean pretty Rocky heavy, but given that it is the week of the NFC Championship game, I have to go Rocky.
Mr. Richie, we got two Rocks and one E.T.
Victory, man.
Victory it is.
Rocky holding his arms above his...
That's massive, yeah, man.
It matters.
All right. Congratulations. The caller that said Rocky at the top of the steps.